Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Deacons are absolutely vital to the life and the health of a local church. Deacons help the church run smoothly and make sure the physical, the temporal, the organizational, the administrative needs are being met. It is important for us to understand the role of deacons, their duties, their office, so our church can function smoothly and healthily without conflict. However, and this may be your case as well, I grew up in a church that deacons were sort of this weird, hybrid, kind of mutated office where they kind of function as elders, kind of functioned as deacons. They kind of conflated the two offices of elder and deacon. And so you had what was the equivalent of some committee men trying to make spiritual decisions. And this conflation between elder and deacon is a very common happening in many local churches, particularly local churches in this area and in this geographical area. And when this happens, when the conflation of the two offices happen and we mutate this office of deacon into something that it isn't ever supposed to be, what happens is it creates an unhealthiness in the church. It creates confusion for the deacons and for the church. And it can put men into roles for which they were never called into. Ultimately, what happens if there is not a biblical understanding of the office of elder and a biblical understanding of the office of deacon, what happens in the life of the church is it creates a weaker, disunified church that will not function properly. So we as a congregation need to know what exactly is a deacon and why they are important to the life of our church. So what is the purpose of a deacon? And we will look at that from the text this morning, and we will see it in three headings. We will see the practicality of deacons, the priority of deacons, and the purpose of deacons. The practicality, the priority, and the purpose. And so in Acts 6, we got to have a little context to understand exactly what deacons are to do. And in the book of Acts, in particular, the Acts chapter 6, we see that the church is now increasing in number. In fact, verse 1 says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number." That is the plain facts of the scripture, that in the book of Acts, at the very beginning, the church grew exponentially. It grew rapidly in number. Numerically speaking, the church was growing rapidly. And what we see is as it was growing rapidly, there started to be areas in the life of the church that were being overlooked. And we see what needs to happen as the apostles have this complaint brought to them, their need to actually address the issue and provide a solution. And the solution to the issue, and we'll get to the actual issue, but the solution to the issue was to establish this office and role of deacon. We see in Acts 6, deacon ministry in its infancy. It is the very prototype of deacon ministry. And what we are going to see is that this deacon ministry that was established by the apostles themselves was done in order to execute the practical needs of the body so that the body could be prayed for and nourished by the word of God. So what exactly is the issue happening as this church is growing in number? And here in verses 1 through 3, we will see the practicality of deacons. So verse 1, now in these days when the disciples were growing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows, the Hellenist widows, were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the first five chapters of the book of Acts, the gospel and the kingdom of God is expanding throughout Jerusalem. And the church has now faced opposition. We've seen that through the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. And yet they are still growing in number. And the local church is expanding her ministries as well. And the church is growing among Greek-speaking Jews. Now, there are two types of believing Jews. There are Hebrews that speak Hebrew, and then you have another set of ethnic Jews that have been what we call Hellenized, or they speak Greek. They adopt Greek culture, they speak Greek, and they are called Hellenized Jews or Hellenists. And now in the book of Acts, you have these two sets of Jews, Hebrews and Hellenists, and a complaint is made to the apostles. And they complain that the Hellenist widows, they're saying, look, our widows are getting missed out. They're missing out on the daily distribution of food. They're poor. They need. And the relief that y'all are handing out is not being given to the widows who are Hellenists. And so they make this complaint as the number in the church is growing. Now, if you just flip back a couple of chapters in Acts 4, verses 34 and 35, what does it actually say? It says that nobody went no one had a need whatsoever. Everybody's needs were being met. And then just a couple of chapters later, because of the exponential growth, all of a sudden needs aren't being met. The Hellenist widows are being overlooked. And now why are they being overlooked? There's some debate on whether it was intentional or just an honest mistake. I typically want to assume the best and think it was just an honest mistake. I tend to think that. Nothing nefarious going on here. But the bottom line is that there's a daily distribution of food and the widows that were Hellenists are not getting the food. They're being overlooked. They're not receiving the need. They're receiving the attention that they need. And so the apostles get this complaint. They realize the burden as the church is beginning to grow. And now remind you, a conservative estimate of the church's size at this time in Jerusalem is 15,000 people. So they're growing. There's a lot of administrative needs. There's a lot of organizational oversight. And so the Jerusalem community, the Christian community here, is witnessing considerable growth, rapid increase. And now these administrative problems have developed. The Hellenist widows are going without food. Now, this is one of the things I love about the scripture, and one of the things I love in particular about Luke, as he writes Luke and Acts, is he never paints a rosy-colored picture of the church, especially in Acts. He makes it clear that even in the early days, and I don't know if you know this, churches can have conflict, and then people can complain, and there can be problems, and that's exactly what's going on in the book of Acts. There's suffering, there's complaints, there's criticism. We see corruption, and yet even in the midst of a growing church, right? You ask the question, were they growing? Yes. Were there conversions? Yes. Was there probably excitement? Yes. And yet at the same time, there's heartache, there's hardship, there's trouble. There's things that need to be worked on. There's things that need to be improved. And by the way, that's probably a decent word for us now as a fairly young church that is experiencing numerical growth. And we praise God for that. But we have already seen that with growth comes growing pains. Part of that is, you know, we already got to think about more parking. We're thinking about space. It's the whole reason why we even went to multiple services, is because we're trying to figure out the best way to shepherd people, to love people, and so needs do not get overlooked. And so it is a reminder in the book of Acts and even in the life of our own church that God's providence can bring great blessing, but also sometimes with God's providence and blessing, it can also bring issues in the life of the church that need solutions. And you see the wonderful leadership of the apostles to take the conflict and turn it into a blessing for the church. So it's God's providence that brought that to them. They make proper adjustments to meet the needs of the body. And that is always what we are to be doing, is making the proper steps to ensure that no one goes unshepherded or uncared for. No matter how large we grow, we don't want anybody overlooked, uncared for, or needs not being met. Because you see here in the book of Acts, as they grew, the church is an organism, right? It's made up of people and it grows. But it's also not just an organism, it's also an organization. And there's certain realities, even in the smallest of churches, where there will be administrative duties, administrative responsibilities, administrative tasks. There's organizational tasks, and there's just simply no way around it. So if the people are the organism, and it's like a vine, use a metaphor of a vine, when a vine grows, and we're assuming that it's healthy growth, when the vine grows and it gets to a certain size, what do you actually have to do to the vine in order to support the continued growth? You have to provide it a trellis. You have to provide it some sort of structure, some sort of system where the vine can continue to grow. And that is much like in the life of the church. As the vine grows, we must add trellis structure in order for needs to be continued to be met. And one of the great trellises that God has given his local church is that of deacons. And so he lays down this prototype in the life of the church, and what we notice here is there is a complaint, there is a problem, and what are the deacons actually doing? They are bringing, because there's a fracture between the Hebrews and the Hellenists, what's actually happening in establishing the deacon ministry is that it's bringing unity to the church. There was conflict, and now the conflict that arose because needs weren't being met, it are now being met, and it brings unity and harmony into the life of the church. Deacons ultimately are established so the church can run more smoothly. They produce unity, produce purity, produce peace in the church. As one pastor put it, as we see here, because there's conflict, the deacons come in and help resolve that conflict by meeting the need. I heard one pastor put it, and I love this imagery, that deacons are a lot, in the life of the church, a lot like spiritual shock absorbers. You know what shock absorbers do in the car? Now, they're not the most exciting part of the car, but they are some important pieces, because if the shock absorbers start to wear, the car starts to vibrate, it makes noises, the tires wear out more quickly. See, the shock absorbers are helping the car's tires stay in permanent contact with the road in order to provide a smoother ride on your trip. And see, the deacons come in as spiritual shock absorbers. So as we travel and as we journey to glory, they help our trip be just a little bit smoother. They come in and help the ride of our church, the journey of our church, be smoother as we travel down the road, because deacons meet needs and because deacons provide unity and harmony. Even in the midst of criticisms and complaints against the apostles, the deacons absorb the shock of their oversight and provided for the needs. And so this is what they do in order to meet the need. Verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching. This is the apostles talking. It's not right, meaning it's not right. It's not pleasing in God's eyes that we should give up what? The preaching of the word to serve tables. So he is saying that if we, because the task has grown so large that the apostles can no longer handle preaching and praying and serving tables. It's not that serving tables are less important, but what serving tables would do is pull the apostles away from their primary task of prayer in the ministry of the word. So it's not right for us to be over here serving tables when I could be over here preaching. And so we need to do something about that because we also don't want needs going unmet. So what they did is they established these deacons to help bring relief to the poor. That's what the church needed. The primary task of preaching Christ and Christ alone and Christ crucified must continue. The church must always keep the main thing, which is Christ and Him crucified. And the apostles would have went away from that primary central task of preaching Christ and Him crucified if they went to go serve tables. And so now we need to find, they're saying, we need to find men who will serve tables and untether us from serving tables so we can go out and preach the gospel. We need a group of men to oversee the distribution to the Hellenist widows so they would not, the apostles would not be distracted from and pulled away from their primary responsibility of proclamation. It is not that serving tables are a lesser task, but it's that the apostles were specifically called to proclamation, witnessing, and preaching, and they would have to neglect that primary task in order to keep up with the growing needs of the church. And so they decided, we need deacons, we need men to oversee this distribution because we have to maintain gospel priority. This is also why our church needs to be proactive and not reactive, so oversights don't happen, so we can take steps so gospel ministry can continue and can go on, because that is what we are here for. That is our ultimate mission as a church, is to preach Christ and Him crucified. And so we need structures and systems that allow for that to continue, that we don't get bogged down in some of this, in some of the table serving, so your pastors and elders can be unleashed to pray and to preach. So you see the practicality of the deacons to promote gospel ministry. Deacons are practical, and they do so by untethering the apostles from serving tables. It's almost like the apostles were tied to the tables and they couldn't go out and preach. And it's the deacons that come around and cut that cord so they could be let loose to go preach and to pray. And the deacons say, you know what, we've got the distribution. You go do what you need to do. So you see how the early church managed the practical issues in the life of the church. They are willing to adjust the procedures, the organizational structure, to give others responsibilities to meet the existing needs for the continuation of God's word to be taught and proclaimed. And so you see in verse 2, as they call this full number of disciples, say it's not right for us to give up the preaching of the word to go serve tables. The word serve here is derived from where we get the word deacon. This is why we understand this passage as traditionally taught, and as I understand it, to be this prototype of deacon ministry, because he is saying these men are going to serve tables. Deacons are servants, literally meaning deacon. The word deacon here literally means those who wait on tables. Now, in a real sense, all of us are servants when it comes to ministry and service, but these men in particular were called to a specific task, and they are establishing the role and office of deacon. And what does it mean to be a deacon? It means that you are to serve. That is what that means. And then you just go to another passage about deacons. What type of men are these to be that are serving tables? You see that in, well, first you see it in verse 3 in the very next verse. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, of good reputation, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. So the solution to the problem is to appoint these men to solve the problem, to give them this responsibility. And then we see in 1 Timothy 3 the qualifications of deacon laid out. What does it say in 1 Timothy 3 verses 8 through 13? Deacons likewise, talking about elders, then he goes to the deacons. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, and when let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. This is a reminder that men that serve in the role of deacon are not just men that are, they are to be spiritual men. They are to be men with qualifications. These are to be high quality men, and outstanding candidates are required for this work. And so that is what a deacon is to be, a man full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, and a good reputation. That is able to take and manage and oversee and administrate the ministries of the church. So if deacons are practical and needed and essential for the life of the church, what should their priority be? And we see that in verses 4 through 6. But we, verse 4, the priority of deacons, but we, the apostles speaking, devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the priority of deacons is to serve in such a way where the apostles, at least in this time, and now we know that elders aren't apostles, but it's analogous in a very similar way, that apostles were called to pray and to preach, and elders are also called to pray and to preach. And so in that similar analogous way, we see that we, that deacons, are serving in order to allow those that are called into prayer and into preaching ministry, the ministry of the word, they are to serve in such a way where those men can fully devote themselves to that task. That they are establishing a group of men who will serve the church in such a way to free up the pastors of the church to devote themselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. The deacons pour themselves into the needs of the church, so those that are called to preach and to pray are not pulled away from that task. To use the imagery of waiting, because deacons are to be those who serve on tables, to use that imagery even more. And then what are you doing right now? What do we call sermons? We call that being fed, right? Being spiritually nourished. Deacons are like the waiters making sure you get fed. They make sure that everything is in order. They might not prep the food, they may not cook the food, but they're going to make sure the food is served to you. That is what deacons are doing. They're making sure you get fed by freeing up the chef to cook. So if you believe that you sit here underneath a vital preaching, live, encouraging, edifying, spiritually nourishing type of ministry underneath the word from your elders, if you feel cared for, fed, and spiritually nourished, you need to thank a deacon. Because the deacons are the ones that free up those who preach and pray to actually preach and pray. And it would go a long way to actually thank them. Now listen, our deacons don't need to be thanked. But that's why they're even in the office. Because they're selfless and they serve. And they don't need to be thanked for what they do. But I tell you what, they do a lot of things that are unseen and unknown. It would go a long way if you say, thank you for your service. Thank you for the way you serve our church. And we know you serve our church in such a way because it allows us to be spiritually fed throughout the week. That's the priority of deacons. It's not just for them to run around like chickens with their heads cut off all the time and trying to meet the needs of the church. What it is it's freeing up those that are called to pray and to preach to do just that. So, I mean, you think about what I do. I think about it in particular to me in the preaching ministry and preaching a lot here. And I think about it like this. I don't have to, with our deacons, I don't have to worry about leaky roofs and weeds in the gravel. I don't have to worry about, the parking lot. I don't have to worry about things getting printed. I don't have to worry about all sorts of the tasks that would go on throughout the week. I'm able to just tell the deacons, hey, this is what we need. They get it done. And then I'm free to pray and to prep and to preach and to visit and to care and to shepherd. See, that is the priority of deacon ministry, is to free up those so you can be fed. And so what do? They said that pleased the whole gathering in verse 5. And they chose these men. They chose Stephen and Philip and the others. And so they put a proposal out to the church. The church affirmed them. By the way, it seems a little bit strategic in nature with those that they chose. Think about, you look at that list of men. They all have Greek names. And then who are they going to minister to? They're going to minister to Greek-speaking widows. So they had a particular context and a particular ministry, and they picked these particular men of good repute, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom to serve in this capacity. And then verse 6, they were set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. These seven men met the requirements for deacons. The church approved, and they were set apart and installed into the office for the reason so that the apostles could devote themselves to the ministry of the word. And so ultimately, what is the purpose of deacons? Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase. The word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. What happened because the deacons served the tables and freed up the apostles to preach? What happened is the word of God advanced. The kingdom of God advanced. The church grew. Disciples were made. And then he gives this particular example of priests being saved, priests being obedient to the faith. Why does he say that? Why does he give this real life example? He not only says they're growing, they're not only increasing, they're only multiplying, but he says priests become obedient to the faith. Why does he say that here? It is because where did the apostles preach most often in Jerusalem? They preached at the temple. But see, if they were back serving widows' tables, they would have never been in the temple to preach it to begin with. And so what happened is he's giving this real life effect of the deacon ministry, and the purpose of deacon ministry is that these men serve the tables, the apostles were free to go preach in the temple, and where did priests work? They worked at the temple, making sacrifices and doing all of that, coming to the temple every day in service. And so what were they going to hear with the apostles preaching? They're going to hear about Christ. They're going to hear about Christ's death, Christ's sufficiency, Christ dying as a sacrifice for sinners on the cross, as a substitute for sinners, that Christ has risen, and he's risen indeed, that Christ has been raised again for the justification and their innocence before a holy God, that Christ has paid it all and paid the full penalty for their sin. And it's these priests that heard and these priests that believed because the deacons enabled them to go and preach Christ and him crucified. And so what we see, that is the purpose. That is the whole purpose. What is the end goal of deacon ministry? It wasn't to get the Hellenist widows off the apostles' back. It was to free them to preach the word of God so people could hear the gospel and be saved and trust in Christ and have eternal life. And if you're here this morning, you just heard that gospel. You heard that same message that the apostles are preaching. And why are you able to hear this message? Because deacons allowed me to prepare a sermon about deacons and to preach the gospel to you this morning. And so you need to hear the same message the priests heard in the temple, that Christ is able to save. Christ died for sins, and all that trust in him will have their sins forgiven and inherit eternal life. And you need to believe, like the priests believed when they heard the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, to believe upon Christ, to receive him as Lord and Savior, and become obedient to the faith so that your sins could be paid for and you would not perish and you would have eternal life. Do you believe that? Have you trusted in Christ? Because see, that is the purpose of deacon ministry. It isn't just to keep them busy with a bunch of mindless tasks. It's to free the preachers to preach the gospel. And it's the only way that sinners can be saved is through Christ and Christ alone. Amen. So do you believe that? And my brothers and sisters here at Grace Hill, isn't that the purpose, the end goal of deacon ministry is for disciples to be made? Isn't that, however, the whole church's goal? For disciples to be made. For those to come into the faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the preaching would be effective in a way that hearers would hear and delight in Christ and love Christ. We should, as a church, delight in a deacon ministry that is effective and practically structured, because it will have direct impact on the effectiveness on the Word of God and its proclamation. We learn that from Acts 6. It is because the deacons freed the apostles to be devoted, the Word of God increased. How wonderful is deacon ministry then? Because deacons directly impact the effectiveness of the church's preaching and prayer ministry. And so, what does that mean for you? It means not all of you will serve in the office of deacon. But remember what that word means. Remember, it simply means servant. Now, the deacons are these leading servants that do help equip and organize and oversee and manage these ministries. And maybe not all of you will serve in the role and office of deacon, but I will tell you this. Every one of you, if you follow in Christ, you are a servant of Christ. And Christ came to not to be served, but to serve. And if we are to emulate Christ, we also are to be servants. And we also are to serve the church. And guess what happens? Even though deacon or not, deacon ever or not, what happens is when you serve the church, whatever task and whatever mundane task it may feel like, you know what you are doing? You are freeing up time for your elders to study, to pray, and to preach so the Word of God may increase. So you serve the church. Whether you're a deacon or not, serve the church. In fact, go to one of your deacons and say, "Where can I help you? Where can I serve alongside you?" And in doing so, the Word of God will increase and your labor is not in vain. And so serve the church, and serve the church in a way that frees up those that are called to pray and to preach so the Word of God may increase. And so also, may I talk to some of the dear brothers here that maybe you are striving toward being in an office and serving maybe as a deacon. You just serve, and you serve the church, you serve Christ, and you serve the church because you love Christ's church for whom he died. And you serve. And if you serve one day in God's providence, he very well may make you a deacon. But if you're waiting to become a deacon before you serve, you're never going to become a deacon. Because listen, the way I say it all the time, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And if you're not serving now, it's not like some light bulb's going to go off when you slap deacon on you and you're going to start serving the church. Serve the church now. Love Christ now. Whether you're, because why would you, are you serving for a title anyway? Are you serving the Lord for a position anyway? I sure hope not. You serve because you love Christ and you love the church that he died for. And if God in his providence makes you a deacon, then you praise him for it. So the principle for deacons, we see this overlaying principle. Just to take a moment, why? Just to reiterate, why are deacons established? They were established to serve the Hellenist widows. It was a particular church with a particular need in a particular context. But now we don't have any Greek-speaking widows that I know of. So are we to just not have deacons? Or is this more, is this a prescription or a description? What we're seeing here is that this is establishing for us principles and patterns for deacon ministry. That we as a church have specific needs in a specific context. And so we too must organize our deacon ministry in a way and put this great principle into practice of deacons meeting specific needs in a specific context. And as I said earlier, elders are not apostles in any way, but we are analogous in the terms that we are to lead, shepherd, pray, preach, and teach, and we must be devoted to these things. And so when we structure deacons and the office of deacons, which is a critical office made up of qualified men who bear the primary responsibility of executing practical ministry, we must do it in a way to establish them with certain needs and a context in mind. Because what good is it if we establish deacons for Greek-speaking widows when we don't have any? Then I'm still busy because none of the needs are being met. So we need to structure it in such a way where we free up the elders to pray and to preach with specific context and specific needs in mind. For example, we might not have Greek-speaking widows, but we sure got a lot of young families. And maybe that's something we can think about when we structure. But the pattern and the prototype of the diaconate, the deacon ministry, is to create health in the church. That's the point. deacon ministry is to strengthen the church. And sadly, as I also mentioned earlier, a lot of modern deacons are a little more than committee men, serving in some sort of pseudo-elder role. But a deacon who is spiritually qualified will be responsible for the practical, behind-the-scenes, task- or deed-oriented ministry. Let me read this quote from another pastor. He says this, quote, "Our modern ministry context often demands on the pastor in the way of strategy, administration, organization that only intensifies the sense among many elders we can become very easily separated from the fundamental tasks and duties of shepherding. Many of our churches expect pastors to be creative, dynamic public speakers, and entrepreneurial and innovative leaders. But the essence of pastoral ministry is simply this, prayer and the ministry of the word," end quote. And it is deacons who promote that in the life of our church. Deacons humbly serving the congregation by just making sure practical matters are met. Deacon ministry in the life of the church is ultimately to free up those who are called to lead, shepherd, preach, and pray, and to teach. So we're not caught up in practical tasks that we become so busy we neglect the main thing of prayer and the ministry of the word. All the while, reminding us, once again, that even if you're not called into the specific office of deacon, we all should be serving the church. If you're in Christ, you are to be serving the Lord. You are to be serving His church, whether it's sweeping the floor, taking a meal to a family that just had a baby, whether it's visiting a sick or bereaved family member. We are all called to service in the life of this church. We are to serve and meet practical needs, whether you're a deacon or not. And then when you do that, you are freeing us up to study, teach, and to pray, thus creating spiritual health in the life of the church. Many issues in a church would be solved if people would humble themselves and serve. We are all servants, and we should all serve the Lord Jesus Christ through serving others. And in turn, we make the church run more smoothly. And in turn of that, we allow the word of God to increase and to be proclaimed. So don't come here to consume. Come here to contribute. You might not be a deacon, but the question is do you have a deacon's heart? Do you have a servant's heart? Are you willing to lay down and sacrifice for the good of the church so the word of God may increase? And where do we ultimately see the model of service? We see it in Christ as He laid down His life for the good of His people, for the good of the church. And so we are all called to emulate Christ in that, to lay down our life for the good of others and for the glory of God. See, the apostles stood firm and said, we will not neglect prayer and we will not neglect preaching. It's not that serving tables is unimportant or beneath them, but serving tables work in synergy with cooperation with the ministry of the word so that the word of God can increase. See, deacons serve as a means to a greater end. And the means to the greater end, that end is the salvation of sinners through Jesus Christ. Deacons serve tables so the word can be served to you. So now the whole body is called to service, and deacons are particularly called to provide leadership in those areas. But at the end of the day, deacons and all of us are called to serve the church so the word of God can be proclaimed and increase in Pittsburgh, in Chatham County, and to the ends of the earth. So whoever ends up as a deacon at Grace Hill, we need to remember that they serve the church, so the word of God will continue to increase, and in that, increase the unity and witness of this church, Grace Hill, for the glory of God and the salvation of sinners. Thank you for listening to Sermon Audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.